some of you can kneel just in front of the Buddha. Then some of you have to tap behind me. Then you all continue. Yeah? Ah, okay. Ah, come. Just tap behind me. Huh? Then you all continue. Huh? When you are ready, let me know. Huh? We will make official offerings simultaneously to all the great authors of Sumeru. Hmm. Ready, everybody? Not yet, huh? Okay. Okay, compose your mind. Huh? Maintain sada virya, then maintain silence within. And we shall all together make this offering. Okay, we are all ready. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will now pay respect mindfully, huh, to Lord Buddha and all the great beings. Huh? Okay, you can simultaneously make respect. Huh? Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you can go back to your own seat. Yeah? Then maintain some form of mindfulness and silence. Then we shall start the retreat. Thank you. Okay, thank you so much for all the participation in making this officially puja offering to all of the authors of Sumeru. So we really, really rejoice in all the wholesomeness, generosity, kindness, and auspicious occasion for us all to partake in this wholesomeness. We rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now you turn to your program.
Wait, I turn down the volume a little bit because Brother Lim requests that not so loud because there's a lot of Malay staying around here. So if you cannot hear, you let me know.
Maybe this volume is just nice. Huh? Can you all hear? Huh? Audible, huh? Ah, good. Yeah. You turn the page to meditation retreat program. So we're supposed to meet at Suyan's house, Brother Suyan's house, then Kapu. Otherwise, those who come on their own, they can plan to arrive at Sumeru at 8. Huh? So most of us were in time, except maybe a few. Huh? Then because of some logistic and preparatory work, so we couldn't settle down in time. Huh? We're supposed to, like, 8 to 8.30, huh, check into our rooms and get ready for puja. Huh? This one we will sort out during lunchtime. Huh? So we can have quite a bit of time, because 11.30 to 12.30 is your lunch and clean up, so you make use of that time to sort out your whatever accommodation need and where you stay. If you are not sure, you can check with the organizers. Sian, Sister Susan, and you don't know who Sian is, he was the one that announced the thing. Then Sister Susan is there. Where is she now? Oh, she went out. Never mind. So anyway, the Klang people, you can see Brother Tay also over the other side, on your right. They can help you. For those who came before, I think you got no problem moving around, and you can find your way. About tentatively, what I know is there are enough accommodation for all the ladies. You are supposed to meet at the place where they prepare your flower arrangement, the breakfast, and all those things. They call it the homes, the second building from the front. Then, in front of this main shrine, there are about 6 rooms. So most of the men, apart from those who stay with me, Sui An, Brother Tim, and Michael, they can stay there. If you want to know the room, you can check with Sister Kelly, or Nancy, or even Brother Sui An, or Brother Tay, or Richard. Richard also able to maybe brief you all. Then, apart from accommodation, you also need to understand that this place is a very unique place. So you have to be very mindful of your thought process, your speech and your action, because there are many non-humans here too, devas and all those things. So you must have love, you must have metta, you must have gratitude, you must thank them, and you must rejoice. You must not have negative thought, otherwise you may get yourself entangled for nothing. If there is anything that you have done, you just ask for forgiveness. They are very, very compassionate and very kind. But sometimes this non-human is very difficult for you all to understand, because they have their way, they have their tradition. So there are certain things that they look up to, and we are at a new way place. We should not offend anything or anybody. We should respect their rules. We should abide by whatever. So even the other great beings, which may not be of Buddhist tradition, you should respect them, especially Lord Shiva and all the other deities, devas, and even nagas. They are beautiful. They are here before us. And we came here to make full use of this way place, to have our retreat. We need to respect them. We need to have gratitude towards them. We need to have their cooperation to help us in whatever way conducive. Here the stillness energy is very good. You can meditate very easily. Your mind will settle down very easily when you just silent. And when you have the faith, sadha and virya, sati, samadhi, and panya can arise very easily. But you are here to train your mind, as I always say, to develop the heedfulness, the stability of mindfulness, so that after this, you have to maintain this trained mind, so that you can use it when you go back to society, when you go back into life itself. Because the real meditation is sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action or movement in the present moment, which is essentially the daily mindfulness. You cannot be heedful in the midst of life to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. That is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. But if you can do that, then you progress very fast. The beginning of real meditation, as I always said, only happen when you have stabilized your mind, your mindfulness, when you can be heedful in the midst of life to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. So this is the gist of it. Then we're supposed to have our official puja. One official opening puja to make offerings to all the Sumeru's altar at the main shrine area. So this is the main shrine where we meet every morning. Tomorrow morning also same, by 6 o'clock, 6 a.m. sharp, you have to be here. Otherwise, you have to find your way to the stupa at the back on your own. We will move from here at 6 a.m. sharp to the stupa area. Then we will have our official veneration chanting of the four objects of veneration, followed by our simple puja at Maitreya Buddha's altar. Then you can have your meditation there. Then by 7 a.m., we will move on to the Kuan Yin Pond nearby. There we will have our puja offering, followed by the chanting of the Heart Sutta and all the other whatever chanting that Sister Padmasuri has prepared. Then we can also have our meditation there. So all this, they have been prepared for you, and it's part and parcel of our program. That's why there are a lot of activity and very wholesome offering and puja session. Even though it's a retreat, it's a combination of many, many things that can actually pave the way for all cultivators to receive the Dhamma, to prepare yourself spiritually. If you do it with understanding and faith, your spiritual faculties will develop, your hindrance of mind will cease to be, and you will become very beautiful even for 1 or 2 days when you are here. Then for those who want to extend their stay, we have optional program for you to stay until the next day. But I will leave at 5 p.m. tomorrow. So all these are in the program. So now I will continue from where we are supposed to stop. Oh, we are still in time. We are only 5 minutes late. Now it's only 9:35. So 8:30 to 9:30, we are supposed to finish our opening puja offering, which we have completed. So now we are at 9. I will administer it. 9:30 to 10:30, I will read to you all this. Briefing and meditation instruction by Brother Teo. The briefing will be very comprehensive, and it will include retreat objective instruction on how to develop the 5 spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to the heedfulness state of mind or Appamada to arise the wisdom of Panya needed to counter the 5 mental hindrance of mind to develop the meditation. Meditation instruction will include the detailed explanation of what is meditation and how to develop the second turning Dhamma contemplation wisdom, so that meditation can be done with understanding. Cultivation to include the establishment of a proper daily religious routine leading to a sustained period of continuous heedfulness. So this summary is very important. Okay, now before we start the official Dhamma session, I shall administer the precepts to you all. Those who are taking the 8 precepts, you can chant together with me. Those who are taking the 5 precepts, you stop at the 5 precepts. Does our chanting book has the 8 precepts? Don't have, we don't have, We only have 5, Oh, okay. You all have the paper? Let me see your paper. I don't have a copy. Here. Let me have one. Okay, Ng Bi must have prepared the traditional Thai way. Okay, good. Ng Bi, can you help? Take the cordless mic. Ask for the 3 refuges and the 8 precepts. Atanga Sila Yachana. The meaning is asking for the 3 refuges and the 8 precepts. Yeah, you can start now. anybody don't have the chanting sheet? Yeah, pass here, Suyan. Yeah. Anybody don't have program? You can collect here. Okay. Yeah, can start.
Okay. Dear brothers and sisters, let us compose our mind, relax our body, and sincerely and respectfully ask Brother Teo Kang Kun to administer to us the three refuges and the eight precepts. We shall do the Pali in Pali together. Aham mita ti saranena saha atta silani yachami dutiyampi aham mita ti saranena saha atta silani yachami tatiyampi aham mita ti saranena saha atta silani yachami.
Okay, we shall now together, I will administer the three refuges and the eight precepts, but we will chant the homage together. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Okay, now you chant after me, You chant after me. Buddham saranam gacchami. Dhammam saranam gacchami. Sanghang saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranam gacchami. Ti sarane na kamanang nititin.
Amamita.
Now I will administer the eight precepts. You recite after me. Panatipata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adina dana we ramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Abrahmacharya we ramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Surame raya majapamadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Vikala bhujana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Na jagita vadita visuka dasana mala ganda velipala darana mandana vibhusanyatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami.
Na jagita vadita visuka dasana mala ganda vilepana darana mandana Vibhu sanatana viramani sikapadang samadhiyami.
Bhuja sayana mahasayana viramani sikapadang samadhiyami. Okay, now you listen attentively, huh? Imani atta sikha padani samadhiyami. Imani atta sikha padani samadhiyami. Imani atta sikha padani samadhiyami. The meaning is, you undertake the training rules to observe these 8 precepts. You repeat it 3 times, so that you seriously, really, wants to do it. Then you turn to the last page. Yeah? I will recite this, then I will explain to you the English translation, the importance of precept. And the precepts, the reason why they are important, because they are the source of happiness that you can really, really arise and receive them. And virtue is also the source of true spiritual wealth. Then virtue is also the source of peacefulness. Therefore, let virtue be constantly purified. Now I will chant the Pali. Imani atta sikha padani silena suganti nyanti silena boga sampada silena nibuti nyanti tasma silang visodaya. Sorry, visodaya. So the meaning is, these are the 8 precepts administered. Virtue is the source of happiness. Virtue is the source of true spiritual wealth. Virtue is the source of true peacefulness. Therefore, let virtue be purified constantly. So we rejoice together. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then you make your 5-point prostration to pay respect to Lord Buddha 3 times. Do it mindfully. Okay, thank you. This 8 precept chanting sheet, I suggest you all slot it together with your chanting book. On the last page there, either staple it there or put it together. So that in future, Sister Eng B need not have to redo this reprinting. Then in future, if we reprint this chanting book, add in the 8 precepts. Then also follow the Thai tradition, so that people understand the significance of all these precepts. When you understand the significance of all these precepts, you will keep it in a very different way. You will keep the precept with much better understanding, and your faith become unshakable. Because as you keep the precepts, you will come to understand through the nature's law that what the Buddha said is very true. You become very happy, very peaceful, because you got less problem. The reason why the Buddha asked us to keep the precepts is because these 5 precepts and 8 precepts are the very basic morality of life that the Buddha came to realize through his enlightenment. People who violate these precepts, they have the evil roots. They are evil in their character. Whatever action, speech and thought that they arise, the evil roots are there. Otherwise, you won't violate your precepts. And this is how you avoid all evil. This is how you take care of your karma. So from the right view, with regards to the law of karma, because within the teaching, the Buddha has actually constantly reminded the monk that every day you must reflect on this 5 daily contemplation. You have to contemplate into it. And the last of the contemplation is with regards to the law of karma, that each and every living being, regardless of who you are, whether human or non-human, you are all born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So if you don't take care of karma, your life will fall, you will become afflicted, you will become miserable, the evil roots will be there. The 3 evil roots are greed, hatred, and delusion. And they are called evil roots because they are the roots of all evil. When you have them in your mind state, you become an evil person. For example, when you have greed, when you have selfishness, these are the mind state that will make you very egoic, very selfish. And all of your action is based on selfishness and greed. That's why you will have lust, craving, desire, and all this negative state of mind that will bring about downfall. That's why it is an evil root. Wherever there is selfish intention within your mind, if you don't root it out, you will break your karma. You will break your precept, you will violate your karma, and you become evil. So similarly, the second evil roots of hatred, which is anger, envy, jealousy, unhappiness, dislike, unpleasant feeling or aversion towards situation and people. So when you hold within your mind state all this negative tendency of anger, hatred, emotional negativity, they are evil roots that make you evil. An angry person can become violent, can become oppressive. A person with a lot of hate, hatred, anger, jealousy, and envy, they are very, very violent and very selfish. And they can do a lot of harm to fellow living beings. They can even kill. That's why it's an evil root, root of all evil. And it's very stressful when you are angry. You not only stress up yourself, you hit out at others, and you cause a lot of suffering and misery to people. The law of karma states clearly, you reap what you sow. Do good because good, but do evil because evil. So when condition arise in the future, you will become the victim. Whatever you do to people, people will do to you. Other people will do to you. So this is the nature's law. Similarly for delusion, which is ignorant of the nature's law. That's why those who are deluded, they become heedless. They do a lot of things that the heedful people dare not do, because they do not understand. They are heedless. And because of that, they will make mistakes. leading to all the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. And all these are the evil roots of delusion, moha. So these are evil roots. When you have this type of delusion of who you are, what you are, when the ego is wrongfully conceived, the egoic mind arises, and because of the egoic mind, the wrong view in regards to this form and mind, Atta, or self, it will identify itself, it will have craving, it will have selfishness, because they will believe that they are real, they exist, there is a person there is a personality that can own thing and have thing. Because of that, selfishness can arise, greed can arise, egoic mind can arise, personality. Then they start to divide and create duality. So all this lead to downfall. So if you understand all this, you will keep your precepts. That's why precepts are very important. So under the last contemplation, the Buddha said, if you know that your life depends so much on karma because you are born of it, air to it, conditioned and supported by it, and you are what you are because of it, then you will never allow yourself to violate this precept, because it brings about downfall, it brings about suffering, misery, is the root of all evil. So that's the reason why precepts are very important. You have to undertake the training rule to restrain, not to violate, not to go against. If you check each and every precept, you will come to know. Even the first precept, we undertake the training rules to abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. You can inquire, reflect, and contemplate. Who will do that? What type of people will do that? Who will kill and harm? Unless they have delusion, they have selfishness, they have emotional negativity, they are very violent, they will never do that. A person who has love, who has the Dhamma, will never violate these precepts. A person who has right view in regards to the law of karma will never violate precepts. Only people who are heedless, they will do that. Similarly, for the other precepts, you go into it, you will understand. That's why when we chant with understanding, then like the Buddha said, Ipmani Atasika Padani. These are the eight precepts. Silena sukantiyanti. Precept of virtue is the source of all happiness. If you want to have the good life, the happy life, you have to keep your precepts. That's why under Dhammapada verse 1, the Buddha mentioned the same. He said, our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. If you understand this, you will be very careful about your mind state. So if you were to act, speak, and think with an evil mind, with an unwholesome mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then the Buddha said, suffering will follow you like the wheel that follows the hood. That's why if you don't keep precept, suffering will follow you. So your life, the Buddha allow you to decide. It is up to you, because you hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or to be miserable is entirely your choice. If you choose to remain heedless and keep on allowing Dhammapada verse 1 to arise, keep on neglecting your precept, then suffering will follow you, just like the wheel that follows the hood. But if you were to keep the precept, just like what we chant just now, Silena Sukanti Yanti. Precept of virtue is the source of happiness. There is no more suffering. And that is what Dhammapada verse 2 is all about. So, to live life is very simple. If you want to be happy, if you choose to be happy, you will be happy. But the trouble with living beings is they want to be happy, but they are always miserable. It doesn't mean that living beings don't know how to choose, because they don't understand this Dhamma, this very simple Dhamma. Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. That's why under Dhammapada verse 2, the Buddha said, when you know mind is a forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, everything comes to be. So we have to take care of mind. So if we choose to be heedful, to take care of your mental intention behind all your action, speech, and thought process, then you will act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. As such a being, the Buddha said, happiness will follow you, like the shadow that never leaves you. That's how the Buddha came to this same conclusion. He said, Silena Sukanti Yanti. Precept or virtue is the source of happiness. So if you want to have good life, happy life, you have to avoid Dhammapada verse 1. You have to train your mind to be heedful. That is what meditation is all about. Without heedfulness, you cannot keep your precept. Without precept, you will have mental hindrance. With mental hindrance, you cannot meditate. That's why precept precedes meditation. That's why the Buddha said, Sila must be there before Samadhi can be effective. Then without Samadhi, there is no meditation or Bhavana. So Sila, Samadhi, Panya. Panya is wisdom, born of Samadhi, which is the meditative training. Then, Silena Bhogasampada, the Buddha continued, he said, precept or virtue is the source of true spiritual wealth. When you keep your precept, when Sila is in place, meditation becomes easy, Samadhi becomes easy. Then with Samadhi, wisdom can arise. And that's why precept is a true wealth towards the spiritual training, spiritual cultivation. And this wealth, nobody can take away from you. Because these are spiritual wealth. These are not worldly wealth. Then the last one is Silena Nibbuddhiyanti. Virtue is a source of peacefulness. When you keep your virtue, you don't violate your precept. Your mind has a lot of peace. Because nobody will come after you. Because you don't cheat, you don't steal, you don't harm, you don't lie, you don't partake in toxins that make your consciousness very down. And all this will actually make you very happy, very peaceful, very calm. That's why you can meditate. That's why the spiritual faculties can be developed. The hindrance can be obeyed. Otherwise, when you violate your precept, you will have a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety. And this is what restlessness of mind is all about. One of the five mental hindrances, the most powerful. So, this administration of precept is something that you have to bear in mind. And in our next reprinting, we will add this in. But for the time being, you add it to your chanting book, so that we can have a complete version of it. You can put it at the back page, like what I did now. Then you can keep it full. But if it's the official copy, then you give back your official copy, you go home and do it on your own. You can fold it this way, or you can make it smaller by folding it into half on the inside. It's up to you. Okay, now we will officially go into the retreat program. So, briefing and meditation instruction. So, like I mentioned, it will be a very comprehensive one. It includes retreat objective and instruction. Okay, turn to first page. Meditation retreat at Sumeru, Meru Klang, from 6th of June to 7th of June. It's not March. You have to amend that. 7th of June 2015, conducted by Brother Teo. introduction. This weekend meditation retreat is the first retreat conducted by Virtue at the Sumeru Way place. It caters for all participants who may be from different background or Buddhist tradition with varying meditation experiences and understanding. The key emphasis here is on understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha instead of focusing on the methods and technique of meditation. The program was prepared to allow participants to optimize on this weekend retreat so that they can partake in all the important retreat activities that are very wholesome, meritorious, and beneficial for them to progress along the path of Dhamma, to realize the three phases of Dhamma soon as possible. The main objective or purpose of this retreat are as follows. The first one is the most important. To realize the noble teaching of the Buddha, we are sincerely cultivate the much-needed heedfulness or apāmada. As advised by the Buddha before his parinibbana, the Buddha mentioned clearly before his parinibbana, he advised the monk, apāmadena sampadeta. And also via his Dhammapada verse 183, 21, 22, and 23. You are familiar with Dhammapada verse 183? Familiar? Anybody not familiar? Anybody? Oh, good. Everybody is familiar. Oh, you're not familiar? Oh, the Mahayana people not familiar. Dhammapada verse 183 are the advice of all the Buddhas. They are the same. In Pali, it's often recited because it's a very famous verse. All Sammasambuddha, they will advise you the same. Sakyamuni recite this. He said, Sabba papasa akaranang kusalesa upasambadan sachitta pariyodapadang etang buddhana sasana. The meaning is, sabbe is all. Papasa is evil. All evil you have to avoid. That is the first advice. Then kusalesa upasambadan. Kusalesa is kusala, wholesomeness. Wherever there is condition to do, you should try to do. But you do with understanding. You accord and flow. You don't become gullible. So all evil you have to avoid. Whatever wholesomeness, where there is condition to do, only you do. Then the last one is sacitta pariyodapanang. Sacitta, citta is mind. You have to purify your mind. Then etang buddhana sasana. These are the advice of all the Buddhas, Sammasambuddha. Okay? So these are Dhammapada verse 183. It's in the Heart Sutta short notes. You have to read through. They are all under the words of wisdom by the Buddha. Then Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23 are the first three verses of Appamadavarga, means the Dhammapada verses on heedfulness, Appamada. These are the most important verse. Under verse 21, the Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, but the heedless are as if dead. So, if you understand this Dhammapada verse, you will never be heedless anymore. That's why when you are heedful, you will keep your precept. You will know how to meditate. You will become enlightened. That's why heedfulness is very important. Before he passed away, he just reminded the monk, apāmadena sampadeta, strive on with heedfulness, nothing else. The heedless are as if dead, means spiritually dead. Then with heedfulness, you will never die. The heedful will never die. That's why meditation or cultivation is not that difficult. You only need to be heedful, and you are destined for enlightenment. Then Dhammapada verse 22 re-emphasize on that. He said the wise one distinctly understand the great difference between heedfulness and heedlessness, they will intend on heedfulness, and they will rejoice in the rhyme of the Aryas or the enlightened one. That's why you must understand this Dhammapada verse, so that you will have a clear understanding that if you want to become enlightened Aryas, you only need to train your mind to be heedful. That's it. Not that difficult. Then verse 23 confirmed everything. He said, those who are constantly meditative, ever mindful, they will realize the supreme Nibbana, born free Nibbana, which is the enlightenment in the here and the now. So all this points towards the importance of heedfulness. That's why our purpose or main objective of this retreat is to realize this noble teaching of the Buddha. We are sincerely cultivate the much needed heedfulness or appamada. And what is heedfulness? To be heedful is to be ever mindful to cultivate noble eightfold path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And it's so simple. So there are two parts to it. Train your mind to be ever mindful, then use it to cultivate noble eightfold path throughout the day. Then you are already heedful. So simple. Then the next objective or main purpose is to train ourselves during the meditation retreat to develop a very stable daily mindfulness, which is the silent mind with inner awareness, leading to the heedfulness from the moment we commence our retreat. To diligently maintain noble silence of mind and speech during the retreat duration. To cultivate sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose, domain of meditation, suitability and non-delusion as a sign of our respect for the way place. These are the four types of clear comprehension that you need to cultivate. The first one is sincerity of purpose, means you come to this way place, you come to cultivate heedfulness or mindfulness training. Your sole purpose or intent is very sincere, means you are not deluded. You are not here to develop psychic power or various type of what they call craving for various mind states that can make you famous or egoic. Sincerity of purpose means you are very sincere in your intent to just be heedful, to realize the Dhamma that the Buddha has taught, to cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path so that it can become part of you, so that you can become noble ones who are very noble in their right view, right speech, right action, right thought, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness and right samadhi, the Noble Eightfold Path factors, they are all very noble. And when you have cultivated them, you have noble qualities. That's why you are called noble ones or enlightened ones. Then the domain of meditation means you don't become gullible. You don't go and give excuse, wait till I retire, I go full-time meditate, I got no time. Meditation is not about time. Meditation is about understanding. Like the Buddha said, meditation can be done in any posture, any time, any place, anywhere. So you don't have to worry about, I don't have time. As long as you have time to breathe, you will have time to meditate. Because every breath, you can be mindful of it, is training of the mind. Every moment of experience in life, you are mindful of the moment you are being heedful. You are meditative. You are investigating the Dhamma. So all this, when you understand, then you realize the domain of meditation is everywhere. Every moment, every instant. Any place, any time. Then meditation can be done in the midst of life. In the midst of doing your work, in the midst of going about attending to your daily activity and household chores. So meditation can be part of life. And in fact, the real meditation is life itself. There is no meditation apart from life. No amount of sitting, seclusion, and all this can bring forth the enlightenment unless you move to daily life, unless you move into life itself. You have to be peaceful in the midst of life to really awaken. You are only peaceful when you are in the formal meditation, in the retreat, or in a meditative environment or setting. Then that is not the enlightenment that the Buddha is talking about. There is only peace of mind, calmness, tranquility, stillness, beautiful mind state. But it may not have the requisite wisdom to enable you to confront life, to understand life, to understand the Noble Truth, to awaken to all of the universal characteristics of all phenomena in this universe. So these are very important understanding. Then after that is suitability. Yeah. Clear comprehension of suitability. There are three things that you have to have clear comprehension of. Suitability of the people means wherever you are right now, all of you together with the non-humans and all the beings that are within this Sumeru area. These are the people who are most important, who can benefit from this sharing activity. So these are the suitable people that you should attend to. Then the place is now. When you are here, you don't go and think about other places. When you project your thought, you are not with the moment, you cannot cultivate. Then when you project your thought, you will recall through mind all of your scars of memory or your unfinished activity. Then you may have fear, worry, anxiety. Then you are not aware of the moment. You are not training your mind. That's why when you are here, you make full use of whatever time you are to be with the moment. This is the most important place. Make full use of it. If you choose to be here to attend the retreat, then tell the mind you will attend to all those things after the retreat, no matter how important. You just have to set your priority. Unless it's an emergency, then you decide how you want to attend to it. Then the last one is, you have this, what they call, three things. Most important people, most important place. Then, most important time is now, here, this moment. So, suitability of people, place, and time. When you have this understanding, when you have this clear comprehension, you will know how to develop them. Then the next one is clear comprehension of non-delusion. A non-delusion means you are not deluded. Means you understand what are the defilements of insight. The 10 defilements of insight that the Buddha talked about. So when you have this clear understanding of the 10 defilements of insight, then you are not deluded by the mind state that arises during formal meditation. When you become very calm and very peaceful, these are byproducts of meditation. But if you don't make use of it to develop wisdom, it's only a conditioned state at that moment. So do not be deluded by it. Do not be gullible when it arises. You can experience them. You can have them. But be very clear about your focus and intention. You are here to train your mind to develop the understanding of Dhamma, to penetrate the characteristics of all phenomena, to awaken to the Noble Truth, so that you can develop the wisdom to understand life, to live life. Not all the fantastic meditative state, the conditioned mind, that has gone through those experiences. Experiences are conditioned state that arise and pass away. But if you cannot make use of it to develop wisdom, then it's not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That's why there are three stages: sila, samadhi, and panya. If you have already kept your precept and then developed the spiritual faculty to meditate, the last one is to develop wisdom, panya, not the fantastic mind state, to be peaceful and calm. So this understanding is very important. Then after that, we move on. The third objective is also important. Learn to be at ease and naturally relax and aware via heedfulness most of the time. So at ease is very easy. Then naturally relax. Don't try to force yourself into a situation where, I appear very relaxed, but inside, not relaxed. So that's why the word is naturally relax. Relax means you truly relax. There is nothing for you to attend to except training your mind to be heedful, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, to realize the characteristics of nature, to realize the Dhamma. So when you can have that understanding, then you will be able to actually settle down quite easily. Then when you are at ease, you learn better, because there is no pressure. There is no stress, no tension, no anxiety, nothing. You just relax at ease. And aware via heedfulness most of the time. Always move and act naturally. Don't try to act out of a intention to appear to be gentle, appear to be loving and all those things. So when you try to act, then it's not a natural behavior. Then it's what they call conditioned thinking. They condition you to have the idea that I must be kind, I must be gentle, I must be truthful. And all those come from the thought. When you are sincere, you will act naturally. You will not try to become somebody. Understand? Because if it's not your natural tendency, it doesn't work. It's only like you put up a show. You try to be kind to people. You try to talk in a very nice way. But that is not your character, not part of you. So you are being unnatural. You try to put up a front. So in the retreat, you have to learn to be natural, to be at ease. Just speak. Don't worry about making mistakes. Then be mindful. Then you learn. Maybe now I am still crude. I have not actually developed the ability to be very eloquent, very gentle, very pleasant, and very sincere and full of gratitude and love, because it's still not in me. But at least I'm aware. Then I have to put in the right effort to abandon all those unwholesome thoughts, unwholesome action and speech that I have arisen through delusion, through lack of understanding. Then later I determine to be ever mindful to see them so that I can have the right effort to prevent them from arising. Then I will arise the right effort to keep my precept, to develop the ennobler, to develop the virtue. Then I start to ask myself, what is the meaning of virtue? How can I develop virtue, which is the source of happiness, source of true spiritual wealth, source of peacefulness? Then you will start to understand, to be sincere, to be truthful. You reflect, you contemplate, then you start to apply it. Then you see the result coming back. That's how it convinces you and make your faith very strong. And then, the right effort to cultivate those wholesomeness, those virtues that are still not inside you, will start to manifest. Then as it manifests, you will have the last right effort to refine upon it, to perfect it. That's why as you develop this more and more, you will come to realize one day it will become very natural to you. to have this love, to have this sincerity, to have this contentment and gratitude towards people. You don't just praise people without that understanding. You see, then you rejoice with the true rejoicing within your heart. That is what meditation is all about. Noble Eightfold Path, right effort. Then after that, you go beyond effort to be heedful, to be ever mindful, to have the silent mind, to insight into phenomena, to go beyond thought, beyond mind. So these are all the important pointers to cultivation. Then I just repeat this and finish off with the third objective. Always move, speak and act naturally, but with inner awareness throughout the day. So there must be inner awareness within your mind base. To stabilize the five spiritual faculty until they become very stable and unshakable. Your five mental faculty, your spiritual faculties are very important. Your faith in the Buddha and his teaching that drives your spiritual zeal or tenacity to cultivate. You see the importance of this teaching. Then after that, maintain mindfulness. When you have virya, you will strive on diligently to cultivate mindfulness. So every activity, when you pay respect, before that you develop the faith, you reflect, you contemplate. So sadha leading to virya, then sati, then every action, every movement, the four posture, you act with mindfulness, with inner awareness. Then your sati will stabilize. Then when sati stabilizes, samadhi will arise. The unwavering mind, the collected mind. With sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are, very clearly. Yeah. That's how wisdom arises, panya. Yeah. Then the fourth objective. Yeah. With the stable daily mindfulness or awareness, use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path via constant creative contemplation, reflection and inquiry into the Four Noble Truths, leading to the perfection of all the Noble Eightfold Path factors of right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right samadhi, so that you are incapable of evil whenever you are heedful. To maintain this heedfulness or apamada training throughout the day to insight into the three characteristics of nature, to realize the insight knowledges and wisdom needed to liberate the mind, leading to the cessation of form and mind as taught by Lord Buddha. Cessation of form and mind is the realization of Nibbana. Then the last one is to diligently develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma needed to understand the Buddha's teaching. The important essential Dhamma are the five mental hindrances, Pancha Nivaranas, the five spiritual faculty or Pancha Indriyas, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, the 12 link or dependent origination, the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, the seven factors of enlightenment or Sattabhujanga, then Dana Sila Bhavana and the five daily contemplation. So these are all the important pointers. Okay, what's the time now? Oh, almost 10:30. So I think I have covered most of it. So everything that is there, more or less, I have covered. Okay. After this, 10:30 to 11:30, you will have your formal sitting, meditation. Your formal sitting meditation, you can also develop the mindfulness. You can use all the skillful means. The main purpose and intent of meditation, I think, is clear by now. Otherwise, you read this book. Those who are new, who don't have this book, you let me know. I will get you some more. It's in my car. Anybody who is completely new to our group, first time attending my retreat, Oh, so many. You have this book or not? Oh, you have. Oh, okay. But you haven't attended any of the Tuesday class, Thursday class, or Sunday class. Oh, you attended, then you understand. Because this is one of the typical Thursday class transcript. But this one is very important because it explains a lot of detail, important, essential Dhamma understanding of the teaching so that you can develop the meditation with understanding. That's why the title is Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. So if you have this understanding, then you are very focused, then you meditate with understanding. The skillful means to train your mind is very important. You start with mind sweeping method, then combine with metta. Then after that, train your mind. Any method and technique you can use. The method and technique never define the meditation. It's only a skillful means to stabilize your mindfulness. You can use anapanasati or rising and falling, or even dynamic meditation or chanting or any skillful means that you are familiar with that suits your personality. Okay. I just read to you what you can do. Under formal meditation, if you want to sit, you can sit. Or you want to do some walking, you can. Then for those who have already trained their mind, established their meditation, you can do the lying down meditation. Then you can also develop daily mindfulness training via standing in contemplation or just bowing in front of the altar. Or you can move around, do Dhamma contemplation, reflection and inquiry within the vicinity of Sumeru while in the walking, standing, sitting or lying down posture. So here, the formal meditation has a lot of flexibility. Whatever that suits you, you do them. Okay? Then after that, 11:30 to 12:30, we can have our lunch. You will break for lunch. Then make use of this time to actually settle down and make sure you know where you stay tonight. Then put your things there. Then tidy yourself up. You need to have a bath or what you can. But your lunch, you try to finish it within half an hour or less. Then you have half an hour to do all those things. Okay, any question before I let you all meditate on your own? Any question? Anybody got anything that you want to? Let me explain further. No question. Everything understood. Oh, very good. Okay. If that's the case, I will let it be. You all can have your meditation now. Oh, Vincent and Anna call. Anybody managed to contact them? What did they want? They don't know how to come. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Because I got a missed call at 7:06 this morning. Never mind. Ah, okay. Okay. Okay, you can start your meditation on your own. You can go down there. More space down there. Oh, where is the toilet? People must know. Now you use the mic.
Hello. End of, if you walk straight, end of the corridor, towards there you see some toilets and two, yeah. If not, can you use the one in the rooms? Better not. There are also rooms. Actually, the ladies' room should be, if you look this way, it is on the right-hand side. There are some rooms there for the men. Actually, it's for the men.
So if you walk straight down on the left-hand side, I think there are three rooms and those are for the men. And the three on the right-hand side are meant for the ladies, but let's keep that open yet. I mean, so let none of the ladies stay there first. What I've done is the ladies are all inside a place called Homes, which is right behind the place where we have our makan in the past. There are three rooms there. It's supposed to be able to take 24 of you. And if there's not enough, then we'll only overflow back into the three rooms on the right-hand side, which is reserved for the ladies, just in case there's not enough rooms. All right? But we'll sort that out during the lunchtime. But more immediately is the toilet.
Brothers and sisters, for all the cars, we'd like to request that all the cars that are parked outside the Kuti and outside the pavilion, we have to move it to the front portion because the tractors are going through and the lane is a bit narrow now with all the cars. So if you don't mind, perhaps at lunch or before lunch, we'll move the car.
Yeah, those who are driving, if you park along this, there is a very narrow road in front of the pavilion or Brother Lim's Kuti, and also Susan's Kuti, that road, I think. You have to move your car. Where can they park? Oh, in front, the home, near the home there, or there are also some space at the back there, Okay, because now your luggage has been unloaded, you can relocate your car. So you want to meditate first, you can. Lunchtime you do it, up to you. Those who, can, no problem, you can go. You walk there mindfully. Then as you drive mindfully, then you park. Then you come back here to do your meditation. You don't have to sit here. You can sit down there. Do your walking, everything down there. You can leave your things here. Then only bring your cushion now. Okay, I see you all at lunch.